Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's our final hour here on the DDC. 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you today. We'll talk a little more football a little bit later in the show, but something we've been doing from time to time throughout the day, and I know our morning show did the same thing, did a great job of it, is remembering our longtime friend and colleague, Mark Howard, who sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 65, and of course, nobody knew him better than our next guest, George Plaster, our good friend, colleague for a long time, mentor to me. Goes way, way back with Mark Howard. George joins us on the show, and George was the one that actually called me and let me know about what happened to Mark. And, of course, George, that was such a sad moment. I go so far back. I started thinking last night, too, about how long I'd known Mark. You go back further than I did, but I remember coming to Vanderbilt. He was working at News Channel 5 and covering our basketball team. Eventually, you were around that scene as well. But tell people when you first met Mark Howard.
You know, Willie, I think the first time I ever met him was in the Nashville Sounds dugout sometime in the 80s. Mark had been a minor league baseball announcer in Evansville, Indiana. And as you know, his love of baseball is right there with yours and mine. I think that's the first time I ever met him.
And, you know, one of the things that has been a common thread that so many people have pointed out today is how he was so good at networking with the other members of the media. He had a great appreciation for others that worked really hard. He enjoyed their work. He would tell them as much. And the other thing, George, I think you can probably spell out as much as anybody is, and this is something you taught me, when there's different ways of doing the telecasts when you're a local sports reporter, and that job has evolved over time. But certainly a sports broadcaster on TV, when you're only on for 5 to 7 minutes, there's different ways of going about it. But his knowledge of sports, his preparation, his ability to talk so many different subjects in detail really stood out.
Oh, my God. There's Willie, as you know, there's nobody, I said it on Twitter, there's nobody in the 45 years that I've been in broadcasting that had Mark's knowledge. You know, I thought there was a time where I was pretty good at it, and he just blew me into the dust. And he blew all of us in the dust when it came to some of that stuff. And, you know, I used to make fun and say to him, why the hell do you even know this? You know, what kind of life have you got? You know, I would give him a bunch of mess about that, but I mean, he was a walking encyclopedia of sports, and his preparation was insane. I remember when you and I were doing an afternoon show, and he was doing a morning show, he had all these pages of notes, and I remember one day walking in on him and, you know, being very cynical, I'm like, what the hell are all these notes? I said, Mark, you don't need all these notes. I said, you know all this stuff. Just do it. And he was really good at it. I thought he and Kevin did a fabulous morning show. They did it the way I feel that a show ought to be done, which is give people knowledge, talk sports, you know, be halfway decent to your callers. I just thought, you know, I thought they really did a good job. And you know, I was a big fan of Mark's, like you.
Yeah, and you know what, George, when you knew him so many years at Channel 5, he would fill in for you or me from time to time as a guest host, but it was such a natural transition. And so you were instrumental in putting together that team that you just mentioned. Kevin Ingram, Mark, Frank Wycheck, this is going way back when we all worked together at 104.5. But, you know, I think you had a good vision of how good a fit he would be. He was a natural for sports talk radio. You used to say he was the sports talk show host without a station, but you eventually helped him get a station. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Willie, what was funny about that, when we first started that station, and, you know, for people who go back a long ways, a lawsuit that I had with Cumulus is what started 104.5 The Zone.
Yep, this would have been 2003.
Three. And if you remember, they had Mark on a political show. And
that wasn't the best
about the Gaza. He's talking about the Gaza Strip. And I can remember calling him, going, what the hell do you know about the Gaza Strip? And, you know, finally, we had a wonderful general manager, Steve Dickert. And I remember I walked in one day and I was like, Steve, it's time to put sports on in the morning. I said, you've got guys here that are really capable of doing that. And that is sort of how the whole thing started. And Frank, you know, Frank was doing a Monday night after the Titans games player show, which to this day is the most successful player show that's ever been. Frank was just a master at it back then. As a player, Frank was one of the most approachable superstars. And so they ended up teaming the three of them together. And, of course, Kevin spent about half the show imitating me before I discovered what was going on. They just had a really funny show between Mark's knowledge, Kevin's, you know, the different voices he would do, and you know, and there'd be Frank going, hey, y'all, how's everybody doing? It was just,
yeah,
they were hilarious.
Yes, they had so much fun on that show, and Mark was great at sort of tying it all together. You know, he was a really integral part of that. And George, the other thing that I think so many people would like to know is how supportive he always was of other people's work. I know you and he had a lot of heart-to-hearts away from stations and work, talking about work, but also talking about challenges in life. I know for me, when I was young and probably thought I knew everything and, you know, I was learning, you know, growing pains, whatever, I would get a call from him from time to time.
Yeah.
And I always felt honored that he took the time and said, look, I was talking to George. We were talking about you. You got to know this, this, this. You know, he wouldn't do this if he didn't care about you. You can do this. He was always really supportive in that respect. And sometimes, you know, George, you and I were talking about this last night. I'm not sure sometimes he didn't realize how good he was. You know, he was always really wanting to be helpful for other people. But, you know, he was a heck of a talent himself.
Willie, you have said it perfectly. There were times early on where I would try to make you understand what was needed in the job. And oftentimes Mark was the one who would do the dirty work.
Yeah.
And, you know, he never...
It wasn't blowing smoke, right? He was honest. He was honest with you.
Yeah, and you know, the general public never knew that part of him. And I think that probably is what's going to surprise all of them, you know, after his passing, is the amount of that kind of stuff that he did. I mean, in that respect, the guy was the ultimate team player.
Boy, he sure was. Well, George, I know, you know, you're very close. You were very close with him and a lot of his inner circle people. I know how sad you were, all of us were, but I do have to say, like, I know you put a post up. It's really been heartwarming to see the outpour of people that knew him in some way, either worked with him or maybe just listened or watched his telecast for a long time, the impact and legacy he's going to have. That made me feel a little bit better.
You know, that's a really good point you brought up, Willie, because it's been pretty heartwarming to me to see how many people that he touched. Because I think at the end of his life, I don't know that Mark really fully believed that the stuff that he had done in this market was fully appreciated. And you know, I wish there was a way that I could show him that. And obviously now there's no way to. But I will tell you this, and I know it went on with you as well, there weren't any of those phone calls that didn't end up at some point with strategy about the Braves and the Yankees. My God, how many? I mean, even the last phone call that I had with Mark, which was, I want to say about a week ago, you know, and I'm telling him, hey, if we get Soroka healthy, we're going to kick your butt. You know, there was always Braves and Yankees and baseball talk in general. The guy loved to talk baseball. And I guess that was where you and I and Mark really hit it off. It always came back to our love of baseball.
Yeah, we could talk baseball endlessly off the air. And, you know, in this town, you probably couldn't do it as much on the air as the three of us probably wanted to. So we kind of had to use that outlet. But, man, we love talking baseball, the three of us for sure. George, great stuff. Oh, yeah, he was the best.
He was the Yes Network without the signal.
Yes, he was. He was. Well, George, great perspective. I know we're all trying to get through this, but thanks for sharing your story or two with us, because you knew him as well as anybody.
Didn't we once work together?
We did. We did for a while.
I thought so.
Tell people what you're doing, by the way, because I know you're just cranking it up, and football season's coming around. Some people are always curious about this, but I know you've got a new project that you're doing.
Yeah, it's through Main Street Media Television, and essentially what we're doing is a radio sports talk show by way of television through the internet. And for now, until we get the app and all the gizmos that we're supposed to be getting, if you'll go on my Twitter site, GeorgePlasterTN, we do this show every day from 4 to 6. It's me, Watson Brown, Billy Derrick, and would love to have you join us.
Absolutely. So, George, good luck with that, and I'll be seeing you on August 6th, if not before.
Yep. For those who don't know it, Willie will be my presenter.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you wanted to throw that out there, but yes, I will be helping present George. George is going into the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame on August the 6th, and so that is a big night for him. So congratulations on that. Okay, I'm working on that. I'm working on it. One day at a time. Thanks. I'll be ready by the 6th for sure.
Talk to you, Willie.
All right, see you, George. George Plasser joining us. Sad day for sure, but that was a guy that I really thought could present a good picture of what Mark was all about. He'd do him backwards and forwards, really, really tight friends for a long time. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and thegamenashville.com. Moving on here on 102.5 The Game, we are cruising towards the very first day of training camp for the Titans. That's been our theme of the show quite a bit here on the DDC. TD from Nashville texts in, my first call to Mark Howard ended with me knowing I was correct with my statements post-Titan game. I said immediately after he gave his perspective, which a week later proved I was right, had me saying, I'll never call or listen to that jerk again. Years later, I was still calling in, still listening. I would put him up there with some of the guys at the four-letter sports network. He had his opinion, but mostly he stood behind it a lot of times with facts to prove it. Long love the legacy of one Mark Howard. So, great stuff. Appreciate you, TD. And if you want to call or text in, we've got all kinds of time here down the stretch to hit on some of these things. Here's a training camp question for you, D-Mace, on our text line. By the way, if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Hey, D-Mace, this is from Ben. They have changed so many rules when it comes to practice and everything. What did you all used to do in training camp that you wish they still did, and vice versa? So give me one thing that you like about it.
Uh-huh.
That you wish they still did, that uh-huh. they don't do anymore. And then maybe something you're kind of glad they don't do anymore.
Well, I wish they practice.
Well, you've been saying this. It's really because it's really not.
It's not advantageous not, yeah. for, you know, a franchise and a league to ask so much of these players, you know, once July hits, but not, you know, give them the necessary time to learn all this stuff. You know, back before the last collective bargaining, when rookies came in, we had a lot of time to catch up. You know, we had, you know, days to learn the playbook, go out on practice, you know what it feels like to be in a 2-hour practice before the veterans even got there. Knowing all this stuff, having a time in off season with the team. Now you're not getting that. And you see that a lot of teams, not so much the veteran teams, but the younger teams, it takes them a minute to start clicking, whether it be offense or defense. And it goes back to, and coaches hate that they don't, you hear Mike Vrabel talking about it all the time, having the time with the players that I need. When we ask you to be here, you need to be here. Even if it's voluntary, we still would like you to be here. Why? Because we just don't have the time to teach you the things that we need to teach you in an amount that the NFL have collectively bargained with the players. So, yes, on one hand, it's good, but then on the other hand, it's not, because you're always, these young guys are always playing catch up, you know, and it takes them a while. That playbook, I don't know if I showed you guys, but that playbook is like an encyclopedia.
You've showed this.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I think during training camp, we need to have like a daily play that you guys,
that
you read to us and we go through.
Exactly.
We try to figure out what it is.
It's, listen, everybody, and this is the notion that, you know, NFL players can't learn, or athletes can't learn, or whatever, is ridiculous. You take the time to go in a room and let somebody slap an encyclopedia in front of you and say, in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, learn this whole book as a rookie. Because if you don't learn this book, you fall behind. And when you fall behind, right. Willie, you get cut eventually.
Yeah.
It takes a tremendous person, someone that has, you know, you have to have the ability to read, process, regurgitate it. Because it's not just reading, looking at it, reading it, and then saying, okay, I got to go out here and do it. These coaches make you write up things on a board. You know, they make you, you know, jot it down on a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper, and they tell you to write these 10 plays, and it's a test. So I got to remember 10 out of the 500 pass plays you're asking me to remember. And guys are remembering them. So playing this sport, and I'm pretty sure basketball, baseball, they're all hockey, they all have their, you know, their things. But, man, it's in the next collective bargaining, the coaches should ask for some of that time back. Now, the time doesn't necessarily mean we got to be on the field, but right. the time to learn, absorb,
yeah.
process it, especially for the younger guys.
Is there anything that you like about the newer system? I mean, you were a player rep for a long time, so you had these discussions, the give and take with the big picture of how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that you like for the players today?
I think
that you think is better
the concussion
for them?
Thing. I really do. And I would, you know, me as a former player, I would take it even further, because my thing is, if a player has a concussion and say, you know, he passes, because you're in a protocol, you go throughout the whole week, you can't do anything, you know, then they're going to reevaluate you, you know, maybe like on Thursday or Friday. And say you do pass it. Yes, I got everything seemed to be back in place. It only takes one more hit, and it doesn't have to be a big hit. We've seen players have a concussion, pass the protocol, and then have another concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they're fully, like, capable of playing again just yet. So my thing is, I wish the NFL would look more into that. you know, not just throwing these guys back on the field because they passed a, you know, a baseline test. You know, a lot of people could pass a baseline test. Some guys, I won't call out names, but some guys have scored low at the beginning on purpose.
As a strategy.
As
almost.
A strategy, yes.
Because when the time comes and I need to pass this
Absolutely.
Test, my baseline needs to be low.
So if I pass the original baseline, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in actuality, you're not good because it only takes that one hit again that will put you back on the sideline.
So that is a good thing about what they're doing now, even though it definitely has changed the game.
Exactly, it has. And I like that. It has. Mm-hmm. Now guys can play for a longer period. Just think if I was in today's game, I didn't have to worry about going across the middle, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, back then,
I mean,
I had to worry about going across the middle because those safeties were 6'1", 6'2", 220, 30 pounds. Now, these guys don't even think about going across the middle because they know they got to catch the ball, take two steps, and then you can hit me. Now I've prepared myself for the hit.
I can only imagine how your numbers would have been different.
You can't touch anyone.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
just,
I'm sure
it's a better game now.
Yeah, I mean, and I think some people do miss just the pure physicality, the intimidation that is part of what makes football great. Hockey's gone through this to some degree as well. So it's a give and take, right? There's some things that are way more exciting about it, but there's some things that you lose in the process, but it's in the name of the safety of the players.
It's in the name of the safety of safety, and they did the right thing.
All right, when we come back, we've got some other people who want to weigh in and remember Mark Howard. We've been doing this all day, and we certainly welcome that. Training camp questions as well, coming down the home stretch of our show today on the DDC, 615-737-1025. Weigh in with whatever you want. Questions for D-Mace, remembering Mark Howard, anything else that's on your mind. Also, we've got the giveaway for the Three Ice tournament that's coming up. We'll tell you about that. We've got a little trivia for you on that one as well. Stay tuned. We're coming right back. Back here on the DDC, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. You can weigh in on our call or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This song brings back memories right here. This was the Super Bowl run for you guys. Mambo number 5.
Was it?
Well, what somebody did was they changed. It's one of those things where they took the real words of the song and they swapped them out for lyrics about you guys.
Oh, I didn't.
You know, you had
that.
The you know, had Javon Kearse rushing the passer, and you know they mentioned all the players in the team. It was a pretty good thing. You know, sometimes
things you don't notice.
You
when
probably
you're
weren't.
Out there
yeah, you yeah. weren't. You didn't know. You weren't aware of this, I guess.
Exactly, I wasn't.
It was pretty good stuff. I mean, while you guys were going to the Super Bowl, they were playing this, that all over the place. This version that they concocted there. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk with Greg. Greg, welcome in to 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Willie. Hey, Derek. Just want to call in about Mark. I'm sure everybody's talked about what a great guy he was. But, you know, last few years I got to be more friends with him, just working stats with you, Willie. But I remember back in my days with the Preds and seeing him cover the team, he was always really, really fair. And he just got it. Like, he knew, like, the guys that were supposed to score and the guys that were supposed to kill penalties. And those early years and expansion, you know, he knew, like, it was really hard for us to beat the Red Wings or whatever. And he had a great way about himself every day. Like, he knew he was covering sports. He was fair to everybody. He was always in a good mood and friendly. He knew if we were in a bad mood that there was a reason why for it. But just a good person to hang out with.
You know, Greg, you can go back to the early days when it was so important for the Predators to sort of get the attention of the media and have the media sort of treat them as a major league franchise. And not all of the, quote, old school media took to it right away. But that's why I thought he was really important, because he was there. He was He already knew something about the sport, which helped a lot. But also, I think he probably pulled some people with him that may not have been interested as fast had he not shown the enthusiasm he did.
And, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think he went to Cornell, so he knew college hockey and knew the Whalers and all those teams in New England and the Bruins, but it really didn't matter what the sport. I guess as I got older and listened to him in the mornings, or he was so gracious those Titans post game. I mean, he would be on for 4 hours taking calls post games, listening to crazy ideas, and you know, why didn't they blitz every down or whatever? But it really didn't matter what the sport was. He knew the teams, he knew the players, he knew the coaches, and very generous, very fair, and we're definitely going to miss him because it was just fun to hang out with him.
Yeah,
like all of us, he's just a huge sports fan.
Ultimately, that's what this business is about, right?
Yeah.
Is having fun talking sports with whoever is on with you. You got to enjoy that person. You got to enjoy what they're bringing to the table, and Mark had that, no question.
Yeah, appreciate you guys all talking about it.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about an individual that, you know, can get on air and be knowledgeable about just about everything. It's what? Master none, jack of all?
Yeah.
But you do it in such a way with such grace, and you don't get too high, you don't get too low. You try to be informative and make it fun, but also give them, you know, the informative part, giving them what they want as listeners. And I'm sure it was, you know, for all you guys, I'm sure it was tough trying to get everybody on the Nashville Predator bandwagon because not hockey was new.
Yeah, because speaking that language was
exactly.
Not easy for a lot of the sports media. They never had
Absolutely.
To learn the sports. They didn't know the players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have a learning curve, and he was ahead of that curve, so he could bring some people along with that. That
exactly.
was really, really valuable. Somebody's got to take the lead.
Yes, yeah, somebody's
right?
got to do it.
Because you can't just have a one-way conversation.
Uh-huh.
You got to have somebody back on the other side saying, yeah, yeah. You know, so that was he played a big, big role in that. Let's get a couple other texts
uh-huh.
here driven by Wilson. The comic side of Mark is going to come out here
okay.
In this next text. Chris in Nashville. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark Howard used to say the fans at Vanderbilt basketball games resembled the cast of Cocoon. Hilarious. Rest in peace, Mark.
If y'all seen Cocoon, you'll know exactly what he's talking about.
The Vanderbilt crowd, you know, can be a little bit of an older crowd, especially in certain sections of the gym. So, yes, Mark made that known. Let's see. Nate in Hermitage moved here from Memphis in 2014, listening to Mark every morning before I discovered 102.5 The Game, of course. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first things that made me feel at home here in Nashville. He was consistently great to listen to on my commute. Really helped me settle into the local sports scene here. Love when he started coming on our station. This is 102.5 The Game. Prayers for his family. He will be greatly missed. Thank you, Nate. Let's get a couple more in there. Austin. I'll never forget his patented laugh. Very contagious. Absolutely true. And Steven making a request on our text line to play some audio clips of Mark. We'll see if we can find anything here in some of the things he did with us in the time that he came in. I'll tell you this. I had some. There were some great moments where he was part of our Predator broadcast, too, and just a great pillar of support in his role. And Jerry Helper pointed this out on the show, on the morning show earlier today, that mm-hmm. he was on the desk. He was doing for a long time what Lindsay Rally does now, what mm-hmm. Kara Hammer does. He was he did the locker room reports. He did the stuff on the desk. And that is an important role. But he went so far beyond what he probably had to do mm-hmm. to execute that show with his preparation. That really was a great signal to me of how well you can be prepared for. So you go beyond what you have to do. You don't just do the minimum to get by. You know, he was doing extra stuff to be extra prepared, knowing that he probably wouldn't use everything that he used, everything that he had compiled mm-hmm. to be prepared. So that was a great learning lesson for me.
You know, the unfortunate part, and there's a lot of that in regard, you know, not as a family member, you're losing a loved one, and, you know, as a friend, you're losing, you know, a loved one as well. But the other unfortunate part about it, and, you know, a lot of people go through it, is, you know, you never know how much you mean to people or a person or a group while you're here.
Yeah.
And we always say, you know, give that person their flowers while they're here. A simple how you doing, hey, you're great, things are going well. That doesn't take much energy to give an individual. But the unfortunate part about it is he will not, you know, he won't hear all of the good things that people are saying and will continue to say about him, and how much the sporting world here in Nashville and the state of Tennessee will miss him because of his knowledge of sports, or because of his voice, and people knowing right as soon as it comes on, as soon as they hear it, they know exactly who it is. So that's another unfortunate part about it.
Yeah, well said. When we come back, we'll have a couple more people that want to weigh in and remember Mark. Also, I want to leave a line or two open here for a trivia question as well. We have 3 ice tickets to give away. It's a 6-team tournament, 2 8-minute halves. It's 3-on-3 hockey, and it's coming through Nashville August the 6th, first puck drop at 4:30. If you're interested in it and you want to answer this trivia question, feel free, 737-1025. Big Poppy, David Ortiz, inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. This is going to be a pretty easy question if you're interested in Big Poppy and you're interested in hockey. So make sure you want to do this if you want to weigh in the question. But which team decided not to tender a contract to Big Poppy? He was playing for this team. It came time he was eligible for a new contract, but they didn't give him a qualifying offer. They instead let him become a free agent. The rest is history. The Red Sox picked him up, and he became the Big Poppy.
You
we know
who that team is? Stupid team.
Well, that's one way of putting it, yes. I'm sure they're looking back and going, What were we thinking? 615-737-1025. If you know the answer, you want to go to 3 Ice, call Nick. Give him the correct answer. He will hook you up. 737-1025. We're back with our final segment after this. We're back here for the final segment of the DDC here on 102.5 The Game. Okay, we threw out the question. If you want to go to 3 Ice, what team non-tendered David Ortiz? Big mistake, as they said, as Julia Roberts said in Pretty Woman. Big, huge, big mistake. All right. So now, Nick, you're going to have to help me here on the call line presented by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I want to make sure I'm going to answer somebody here that wants to win the tickets here. Is it Galen who is on the line there? Galen? That would be line 6. Can we pull Galen up? Galen, do you have the answer?
Minnesota Twins.
And are you interested in going to 3 Ice?
Man, that sounds pretty damn cool.
Outstanding. All right, Galen, thanks a lot for calling. That is the correct answer. The Minnesota Twins, or as you said, the dumb team.
Yeah.
team. They've been a pretty smart team many times, but not in this case.
Not in that situation.
They let Big Poppy go.
Talking about a Hall of Famer.
For nothing, yeah. And that was a really fun speech yesterday. Big Poppy, he was, you know how he is, just full of energy, enthusiasm. He gave his speech in two, you know, he spoke for English, then he went to Spanish, come back to English, recognized everybody, did it with a lot of
Grace and class.
A lot of good stuff. Yeah, he was great. So, Galen, congratulations. We're going to hook you up. Nick will get your information. We're going to put you on hold here so we
Awesome, guys.
Yep. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. All right. Let me get now to Dylan. He wanted to make a comment on Mark Howard. Remember him. Dylan, welcome into the game.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Try to do this. Yeah, when I saw the news yesterday, just devastating, obviously. I'm 33, and he was one of the first voices, you know, I remember, along with you and Willie. The show was called Sports, or You and George on Sports Night, right?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay,
and, every time I hear Jump by Van Halen, I think of that show.
Yep. music, but, I do too.
Yeah, that was a great one. But yeah, it's just, he's just the walking encyclopedia. He just knows everything. It's just the vast knowledge that, you know, was lost. It's just so sad. But, you know, he always cracked me up because, like, I've listened to the Wake Up Zone. And him and Kevin, you know, they go on these random, like, tirades about some stats from the 70s or 80s, like baseball. I'm like, what is this guy talking about? You know, it's like, just the way that he could, just his knowledge, you know, it just kind of makes you feel like you lost a personal friend, you know, even though you didn't know him. So, but anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Dylan, thanks a lot. Appreciate that was it. Nice of you to say.
He's one of those guys that as you listen to, you know, callers calling in or whether they text or, you know, people like George, they call in. He was one of those guys that when you sat there and you talked with them for a bit, you walked away more knowledgeable about whatever you guys were talking about, you know.
And hopefully had fun doing
absolutely,
it, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one thing, like, you know, I've always said, listen, I know a little about a lot, but then I say what I need to say, but then I listen to the person that knows more so I can walk away now adding that to my repertoire of things, you know, to my knowledge base of things that I know because I knew a little bit about it, but then I'm listening, you know, whether it be you or Chase about hockey. It's like I knew a little bit about it, but I'm listening to y'all two guys. Now I know more.
Well, and you've grown a lot in that area, don't you think?
I think you've
grown a ton in your knowledge of what's going on with the hockey. By the way, since you came on, we hit it in the first hour before you came on today.
Kachuk.
But the Matthew Tkachuk saga ended so fast. I think we all left here on Friday. We were kicking around trade ideas and what about this package or that package. And then by Friday night, it was all over. Yeah. I never thought it would be that quick.
Yeah, we thought the Predators were slightly in play somehow, some way.
Oh, yeah. I think we all thought they were in there. And August 11th was the arbitration date that was set. So I thought there would be some calls back and forth. Uh-huh. I was really amazed at how fast Florida jumped in there and I understand what happened. They offered the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think anybody else was going to go there. I know in reading the stuff out of St. Louis, the package they offered was just not close to what Florida did. And I think we were all a little bit surprised to hear that David Poile said they really weren't in the mix. He called and said, what do you think? And they were like, you're not on the list.
Oh, wow.
Which I think we were all like, wait a minute.
Right, whoa.
That's not what the article said.
That's not what, you know, this article said. Yeah. Like, the Preds were one of the teams.
Yep. But the other thing for the Blues and the Predators, because I think this was one thing we hit on, if Matthew Tkachuk is in play and a couple of teams on that list are in your division, you probably need to get in on that mix if for no other reason. You don't want him playing in your division. So he did go to the Eastern Conference, which is probably a little bit easier to live with. It's like, we didn't get him, but at least he's not playing for the Blues.
Yeah, at least we don't have to see him all the time.
Yeah, you know? You see him twice a year
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. So it happened fast.
Now, what would you say to this, Derek? Let's say you get traded. This is what happened to Jonathan Huberdeau. He was an MVP candidate, and the same could be said for Mackenzie Weegar, who is the defenseman that goes to Calgary as well. Their world just changed. They go from playing for the Florida Panthers. Huberdeau was drafted by the Panthers. He's 29. He's been with the organization since he was 18. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to Calgary, and he's got 1 year left on his deal. So I'm sure Calgary has already asked, hey,
I'm sure,
you want to sign long-term here. But if you were him, would you be open to that, or would you want to sort of get acclimated with your new group before you committed to that? Because he could become a free agent at the end of this coming season if he wants to.
He's a Canadian, right?
He's a Canadian.
Yeah, so I mean, it could be one of those deals where he feel, okay, I'm going, you know, back home, so to speak, to play. In Calgary, you know, they're it seems like they're still on that path of we're not. We talked about last week. Are they rebuilding if they do this Tkachuk deal, or are they competitive rebuild? It's more so now they're in that competitive rebuild and might still be ahead of that curve. So if you're coming in and you're thinking, okay, this team is still in the mix, and if I sign long term, then maybe we can go out and get a few more players. So he might be thinking, you know, hey, let's go ahead and do a long-term deal, or at least wait until, you know, the season get going and do it in the middle of the season, something to that nature.
There's really a couple choices there because he could – now, I've seen people do this. The Predators actually did it with Kyle Turris. It was sort of sight unseen. He hadn't played a game for the Predators yet. He had agreed to a 6-year contract.
Uh-huh.
And that ended up backfiring, right? It did not go very well. It actually did for about a half a season and then sort of plateaued and then sort of go downhill a little bit. He could also wait. But there's some guys that don't like doing a negotiation during the season, right? So you hear some people saying, look, once the season starts, let's just talk about it after the season. That's not good for the Flames. They would probably like to
get something done before
and then maybe
or during.
After Huberdeau plays a month or two and it's like, okay, I like it here. I'm fitting well with this system. I like my new teammates. I'm productive. I'm comfortable staying here. Maybe they could work something out there. Otherwise, the Flames are going to be back in this situation next year. They could be left high and dry by him.
Yeah, I think the first scenario of, you know, him going in and sort of filling it out, you know, it's like, okay, let's go on the first date. Let's go on the second date. Let's go on the third date. So, okay, after the third date, I know, okay, we're good. Let's long term. Maybe that's what he's thinking. Let's just get into the season first, see how it's going, see how everything is meshing. And if it's going well, then, yeah, let's try to work on a long-term deal.
Yep. And so Calgary, I think the net result is that they're still going to be good. Certainly not as good as they would have been had they had Tkachuk and Gaudreau coming back from a team that was already a division champion. So this is one of the things Robbie threw at me earlier in the show. He thinks that the West overall is maybe a slight notch down overall than it was last year. And the Predators, in theory, they've added a couple of pretty good veteran players. Yeah. They might be a little bit better than they were last year. So have they closed the gap some on arguably everybody except for Colorado? Yeah, I think you could make that argument right now. We're not going to know until you start playing the games.
Yeah, but ultimately the goal is to catch Colorado. Now,
they're
a few steps away from that. But if you can make ground on the teams that are either right with you or slightly above you, then that's good. Because once you get in the playoffs, I mean, if you go in relatively healthy, all bets are off, man.
Yeah. The other thing we don't know for Colorado, what's going to happen with Nazem Kadri? He's been out there. I think he was waiting for the call to get the big payday. For whatever reason, it hadn't happened yet. I'm not sure where it's going to be because so many people have spent their money now. So where does he end up? And does he end up going back to Colorado? That's something that people are kind of speculating. Even if it's not for the big long-term deal, maybe come back for one more year or two more years. That's what the Predators did, Nino Niederreiter. He said, you know what? I'm not getting the deal that I want. I'm having to take less money because the cap's not going up. And the cap's not going up next year. So I'll take the 2-year deal. I'll hit free agency again when I'm still young enough to maybe get another big contract. And people will have more money to spend.
Exactly.
So I wonder if Kadri does something similar to that.
There's a possibility, you know. But, I mean, do you want to be on a team that just won the Stanley Cup? I would say, yeah, I want to go back and try to get another one.
So,
but does that,
yeah,
does that mean you sign a shorter term deal?
That's the choice he might have in front of him. We'll see. All right. Stillman and Company coming up next. I can see Jared and Caroline in the on deck circle ready to rock and roll. Let me tell you quickly about Loan Pronto as we get out of here for the DDC today. With your home's value up again, you're sitting on a pile of money. And if you need it, don't let it sit there. Use it. Use it to pay off those high interest credit cards, other things that might be piling up on it. If you want to do a home improvement project or anything else, Look in to Loan Pronto's whole loan refinance or take advantage of their all-new equity line of credit program. You can get $50,000, $75,000, even $100,000 or more out of your home, and the payments are crazy low. So think what you could do with that if you need it. Don't let all that home equity pile up. If you need it, use it. Turn your house into an ATM and get that cash you need. All right, Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS, 166-1781, subject to lender approval. Coming up next, Stillman & Company, right here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game Nashville app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.